going to tell about Jesus and the disciples in the boat that's crossing the Sea of Galilee. And so he titled it, Sudden Storms in Life. In Proverbs 3, verse 25, it says, be not afraid of sudden fear. Another translation says terror, or the word trouble and the word storm. So don't be afraid of sudden storms. Oh, those unexpected things that happen. Those things that just jump out and grab us. Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. Well, that's what the verse is. Be not afraid of sudden fear or sudden storms. Then the verse continues, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Wow. I believe we've all experienced storms in life, various times, a variety of severity. They're not all the same. During this, we get a sudden, well, it's really not sudden, but it seems like it jumps on us this time of year, this taxing season. Oh, man, got me. Kind of jumped right out there. A car breaks down, we're out finding treasure. Or think about people that have experienced job losses. Maybe not recently, but in the past. Or think about someone that's learned about a serious illness, unexpected. Or a loss of a family member. Remember back in January 24th, 2014 of this year, Joel Villa's 12-year-old son collapses on a playground. Joel goes into, put in a coma, life support, sudden storm. Send him off to school. Find a nanny. Uh-oh. Dies Friday, March 14th, 2014. Just thinking about this lesson several weeks ago, especially, so I'm not going to read these at the time, but I just started looking at what newspapers search for the missing airliner. They see that something about in the Indian Ocean where the Boeing 777 airliner disappeared March 8th, where 239 people on board. Mudslide and mud flow. Up there, confirmed death toll rose by 1 to 18. The governor asked the people across Washington to pause at 10:37 a.m. on the, which was the time of the huge slide struck on March 22nd, destroying a neighborhood in the community of Oso, north of Seattle. Soldier opened fires at Fort Hood. Officials said the shooter walked into the building, began firing a .45 caliber Smith & Wesson semi-automatic pistol. Just a couple days ago, California crashed. Rescue workers, and where's the picture? Police and firefighters worked the scene where 9 people were killed in a 3-vehicle crash involving a bus carrying high school students on a visit to Humboldt State University. This is just 4 of them just in the last week. Sudden storms? Unexpected? Never thought about it. They happen. We may not experience something like that. We may experience something like it in the past. We have our phrases for a lot lesser storms. Maybe not quite that severe. I've heard people even say, I'm just going through this stuff right now in my life. Well, when it rains, it pours. In other words, it wasn't just one thing that happened. I'm in a series of things. We think about, we use the phrase, a wrench in the works. Ah, now I got to stop and fix something. Didn't plan on that. Remember Murphy's Law? If anything will go wrong, it will. And the corollary to it, it will happen at the worst possible moment. Another corollary, things are never as simple as they seem. Murphy's Law. I know you won't, some of you, Dennis, may remember this. During the Great Depression. President Franklin D. Roosevelt encouraged us, the U.S., with these words. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. The rest of the quote is this. gives the setting for it. In Mark 4, verse 1, and he, meaning Jesus, began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Then he begins to teach in parables. It goes all the way to verse 35 of the same text. So in verse 35, and the same day when even was come, or when the evening was come, he says to them, let's pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, those that were with Jesus. And there were also with him other little ships. He still had a following. In verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Wow. He was in the hinder part of the ship, or the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. In verse 40, he said to them, why are ye so fearful? Why? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Wow. The story is also told, I put that in your notes. Now, the story is also told in Matthew chapter 8 and Luke chapter 8. With just two verses or so. Mark gives a six or seven verses to tell the story. So I put several things from this story that we can learn in about life. Number one, the probability of storms in our life. Probability. So I put it, the elements of a perfect storm were gathering at this situation in the life of Jesus. Everything just kind of fell in place. You look at it here, Jesus is no doubt tired from a day of teaching. In verse 2 it says he taught many things by parables. So started out early in the day. All day he's teaching. And you think again, now here are the disciples and others, they listened to Jesus' doctrine by parables, and they even had difficulty understanding it. Can you imagine listening to me all day? Well, not me, how about Clarence? That'd be better. Can you imagine? Can you imagine listening to somebody all, even if you like the lessons? I'm listening all day, but Jesus is teaching in parables, and they are having difficulty understanding. All day hearing a lesson they have a difficulty understanding. Now it's nighttime. No doubt their eyes are drooping. Minds begin to get drooping when the sun sets or goes down. It's nighttime. Now they, not only is it nighttime, you think you're going to, let's take some time out and send the people away. No, now Jesus said, let's go to the other side of the sea. All day. It's nighttime and you want to take a boat ride. And there's a small group of followers that would seem to interrupt any plan for resting. They want to prolong the party into the night. Then there's the sea itself. That's probably not easy to cross, everything they have to do just to set sail. So right when you don't need any trouble, sure enough, in verse 37, a great storm of wind arose and began to fill the ship. Wow. Matthew says in Matthew 8, verse 24, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. for today in the midst of a storm, and we're going to ask, where is God in this? And put that in your notes. And the answer is, he's in the boat with us. What if the disciples asked that? Oh my, look what's happening. See, the disciples were learning a lesson that we have to learn too. Because here we are, we're trying to, and we are, here we are following Jesus, and at the same time we're in the midst of a storm. Well, how can that be? Jesus, I'm following you. Shouldn't storms be eliminated? And I'm wondering, you're probably, the disciples may have asked, why us or why me? You know, maybe enough is enough. Didn't we have to listen all day long and now we're out to sea? And they might say, well, you know, I'm at my wit's end. Or you say, you know, some of these disciples are getting on my last nerve. These people that I'm with. You see, some people believe faith is some kind of insurance against storms. Some people think that. Jesus said to the disciples at the end of the day, let's go. And they did. See, sometimes storms are not punishment for lack of obedience. Oftentimes, they're the result of obedience. You understand that? Just because we obey doesn't mean there shouldn't be any storms. Sometimes when we do obey, storms come. So number two, so we know storms happen in our life. Number two, the presence of storms in our life. In Mark 4, verse 38, he, meaning Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. They awoke him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Do you care? Saw or heard a story about the circus trapeze artist and had a security net, and as one of the interviewers was asking him about it and said, yo, Mr. Performer, what about that net that you have? So the trapeze artist said, oh yes, the net does the obvious. It keeps us from being injured when we fall, but it does more than that. Imagine if there is no net. We would be so nervous, we'd be more likely to miss and fall. If there was not a net, we wouldn't dare to do some of the things we do. But because there's a net, we take two turns or two revolutions. Then we try for three, thanks to the net. You know what we have in Christ Jesus? A net. A net. In God. And because of that, we dare to be obedient. See, think about it in physical life. Think about all the things that we do in physical life. We go to work, we play, we try things. Why do you do that? I'm going to answer for you. Because there's a net. There, we have 911. We have EMT. We have rescue wagons. We have police. We have fire departments. We have hospitals. We have lifeguards. You know what those are? Those are nets. And when we realize those, it enables us, I'm going to try this, or I'm going to go here, I'm going to take that long trip, I'm going to do this or that, because we say, you know, if something happens, we have this to fall back on. The net. Spiritually the same way, we have a presence. It's Jesus. And so we need to call on him. If the net wasn't there, we'd... just imagine. I'd be afraid. I'd be afraid if there wasn't a net to catch me when I fell. Number three, there's not only a presence, there's a peace in the storms of our life. In verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. On this occasion, the storm ceased. Put in your notes, what if the storm doesn't stop? We've all been through small storms. We've gotten through them. They didn't last. But Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in you might have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. Jesus didn't take away the tribulation. So sometimes, even though we are following him, we're on his side, it doesn't eliminate tribulation. But Jesus said, in the midst of tribulation, I'm going to give you peace. And Paul describes it as a peace that passes understanding. I don't understand all everything I know, but I know I have peace. You see, that present display of power that Jesus just gave on this ship, it should have taken away all the doubt and the fear in the disciples' minds. Should have. You know, there was a time even after Jesus, they struggled with this just like you and I do. But they struggled with this even after Jesus' resurrection. Remember, the disciples are in a room. And in John 20, verse 19, it says that that evening, being the first day of the week, doors were shut where the disciples were gathered for the fear of the Jews. They're gathered together in a closed room because they are afraid. Afraid of the Jews. And then came Jesus and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Wait a minute, aren't there still Jews out there? Isn't there still Jews out there that they think are still going to get them when they go out? First thing Jesus said, he didn't take away the Jews. Didn't eliminate that whole nation. He just said peace. And he said it again the next verse. Peace. See, there's a presence in the midst of the storms, and there's a peace that we have. During their 3 years of following Jesus, they would witness great displays of God's power through Jesus. And Jesus would teach them, and they would see that too. See, often I think God allows storms in your life and mine to show us or to teach us that we can trust Him. Trust Him. Hasn't God brought us safely thus far? Think about your past, your history. Here we are. Didn't we get through those things? Hasn't God answered prayers? When we're in the storm, we may wonder, "Oh, God, are you asleep in the boat? Are you absent? Do you care?" That's on us. That's on us. But we can always call for help when we need it. He's there. If we think he's sleeping, that's my fault. If we think he's absent, that's me. But he's there. And that's what he's saying here. Whatever the circumstance, we need to reflect on God's faithfulness, and that's where we find peace and presence. Now, number four in your notes. Number four. Purpose of storms. You think God allowed the storm on that Sea of Galilee just so he could calm chicken? That might be a secondary reason or whatever. I'm sure that might be part of it. But Jesus used the storm to get the attention of the disciples. He taught them all day. They didn't need another storm. An all-day sermon, they didn't need another storm in their life, in a sense. That's what they got. He's going to get their attention and teach them a lesson. See, we're not short on storms in our life. I put in your notes that we're not heading into one. We're in one. Or we're emerging from one. That couple of those might be together. We're heading into one and we're getting out of one. The storms demonstrate, I put in your notes, God's power. They strengthen our faith and they move us to run to Him. Just like the disciples did. David learned it. I did. In Psalm 119, verse 67, David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word." Before I was afflicted, I went astray. See, there's something about storms and hardships in life. If we allow them to, it will straighten us up. In Psalm 119, verse 71, David said, "It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." It's good. Affliction is good. If we allow it to produce good, if we learn statutes. So storms. storms, I think, going to remind us of our inability. That I can't control all situations. Some storms I just can't eliminate quickly that happened in my life. I can't fix them. But it's going to cause me to put my dependence on Him. Who are you going to run to? So there's products of the storms. In verses 40 and 41, Jesus said, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you had no faith?" They feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" See, Jesus, in this story, was gentler with the disciples than he was with the wind. Jesus, in this story, gives a very brief lesson, at least for the text that's here, gives a very brief lesson on faith taking away fear. So the question is, where is our trust when we're in the midst of a storm? He asked them, "Why are you so fearful?" Why? But about your faith. What also is interesting in this story, at least for me, is that they feared exceedingly after the storm stopped. They stopped the storm. They feared exceedingly. Well, of course, I'm thinking it's probably just an expression of awe, perhaps, on the part of the disciples. It's kind of a wow factor. So the word fear, meant by the proper respect. Wow, you put the fear in me. So in this boat-shaped classroom, you know, they realize Jesus is greater and more fearsome than the wind and the waves. They might even say to themselves, "You know, from this point on, I'm not going to be afraid of drowning because he created the Sea of Galilee. And he had power over it when the storms came on the sea. Why should I be afraid when I'm in the middle of the sea and a storm comes up with all of this that causes and creates the storm? He created. Why should I be afraid?" And number five, the promises. Interesting too, the story begins, and don't pass this point up, in verse 35, "Let us pass over to the other side." Let's pass over. That's how it begins. Didn't know a storm was coming. Jesus said, now he's with them, "Let's go to the other side." So I put in your notes, if Jesus gives a destination, it's certain the disciples are going to arrive there. Let's pass to the other side. Again, the disciples, they didn't know if they were, it was going to be a comfortable ride or a stormy one. But they got into the boat with Jesus. It's really no different for us. No different. For us, the days ahead are uncertain. I don't know the content of my days ahead, and I don't know the number. But if Jesus says, "Get on board, I'm going," because he's saying, "Let's pass over to the other side," that means we're going to arrive on the other side. And that's the verse in the destination, John 14, beginning of verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled." Why shouldn't my heart be troubled? I'm in a storm. I feel a little trouble in my heart. No, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm staying in the boat with Jesus. Because he's landing safely on the other side. He's going to make sure that I do too. Let me just give you a quick review. You know, I had 5 points, or just four things. Number one, again, like this last point, God's word assures us of a safe landing. The topic is storms. The first point I want to look at, review, God assures us of a safe landing. I think of all the saints who died as martyrs. Can I die like that? If someone gives me the choice,
choice. You're going to give up one or the other. Give up your faith, or you're going to give up your life. What's my choice? What am I going to choose? And I die like that. God's word assures me of a safe landing. Number two, God's word alerts us to expect stormy seas. In James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, all of us are on Jesus' side. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into temptation. James didn't say, if you fall into temptation. He said, when. He said, when. Clear skies aren't promised all of our days through. So that's point number two. So you know, if the Savior suffered, why shouldn't the saved? If the Master suffered, why shouldn't the servants? Or he's not giving us something that he hasn't gone through. So number one, God's word assures us of a safe landing. And number two, God's word alerts us to expect stormy seas. Remember the story of the two builders? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. You look, both people heard what to do. Both there were two builders. And look at what happened to both buildings. It says the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house. Wow. Rain, floods, winds, and beating on that house, on my life. But the first one, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Second house received the same stuff, but it fell. And it says, great was the fall thereof. What's the difference? Because one builds their life with Christ. You have storms. If you don't have Christ in your life, you're going to falter. You'll fail. Number three, God's word announces that the Savior's on board. I just said that, the presence. God's word announces the Savior's on board. Remember the Great Commission? Oh, remember that? Preach the gospel in all the world and baptize. But the last phrase, the last one is the encouraging word. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's a great commission they have to that they were charged with. Oh, but I'm with you. Hebrews 13, verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay. The storms will find us. Just remember, Jesus is on the way. When you're on Psalm 46, I close that. Psalm 46, beginning of verse 1. Here it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.